Mediated Conversation on SAFM.
27 minutes now to 9 the time. Good morning to you. Time for your Mediated Conversation this Tuesday morning. So I bet that after the events, after the last 18 months, the awful pandemic, the violence that we saw 3 weeks ago, and I suppose life generally, you may be feeling poorer than you were. You may have a lot more debt. You may be in a position where you're wondering if you'll ever be able to recover financially from all that we've been through. You're not alone. That I can promise you. There is so much evidence of how much harder it has been to feed families and children and care for loved ones during this time. That means many more people have more debt and are spending money just trying to pay the debt back, or just to pay the interest back. At the same time, there's now a suggestion that workers should be allowed, or may be allowed, to access a part of their pensions to try and pay off debt. There is, of course, a huge risk to this. It may lead to people losing out when they retire and not having a big enough pension. So then, how bad is our debt situation at the moment? How do we deal with it? Is it the right thing to access this pension money if a government allows it? Well, first this morning, you'll hear from Debt Rescue. Neil Rutz is the CEO of Debt Rescue, about the nature of the debt that we have. Then you'll hear from Mavis Eureka. She's a human behavior specialist who specializes in financial decisions. And finally, Gerald Mwandi Ambira is a financial expert, particularly around personal finance. We start then with the CEO of Debt Rescue, Neil Rutz. Neil, good morning.
Good morning.
Before the pandemic, this feels like a long time ago, but it's only 18 months ago. Before the pandemic, many South Africans were in debt. How bad was the situation then?
Yes, yeah, so before the pandemic, the situation was already very bad. So almost half of all credit active consumers were over indebted at that time, meaning that they were in arrears with at least 3 payments on one of their accounts. And that amounted to more than 9 million credit active consumers. So the situation was already very bad for consumers. And obviously, the lockdown and the effects of this pandemic has just made everything worse, because we've seen job losses, we've seen salary cuts. But unfortunately, we have not seen anything else helping us, in the sense that costs being reduced or anything like that, because petrol prices are still going up, electricity prices are going up, fuel prices are going up, filtering through to the prices for other goods and services. So the situation has just gone from bad to worse.
So it's got a lot worse, I am presuming, and significantly worse, to use that phrase.
Yes, definitely. There's no doubt about it. And unfortunately, in the beginning, when we entered this lockdown during the first couple of months, people were kind of naive and in a kind of a situation of limbo, in that they didn't call for help when it was needed. So we saw a lot of people who just sat there and they didn't apply for debt review or ask for any help or anything, because they believed that somebody will come to their aid. Government will give them money, or the credit providers will write off their debt and lower their interest. But none of those things really happened. It did happen to some extent in the form of payment holidays, but none of those things were really a solution, a holistic solution to all their problems. And what happened then is that they came in arrears with a lot of their accounts. And when the banks started collecting, life became very difficult for those consumers, because at the end of the day, we have to remember that banks are businesses and they've got shareholders and they have to make money for their shareholders. And the only way that they are going to be able to make money is through collecting on their debt. And that is what has been happening after the first lockdown, and it's now happening. And we are seeing an aggressive collection from a lot of credit providers out there. And unfortunately, the consumers don't have an answer for that apart from aid like debt review.
How much debt are we talking about? I mean, we're talking about people who are earning debt that they may not ever be able to pay back, and particularly if they've lost their job or their income has been reduced.
Yes, the situation is very bad. I mean, what we see on a daily basis is people coming in for help where they have been financing their food and their groceries. And unfortunately, we do have a lot of credit providers in South Africa giving out those that kind of credit to consumers, which is obviously never a good thing. I mean, it's always very important to draw up a budget and to stick to that budget and make sure that you have enough money for the whole month to pay all your credit providers, but then also to pay for your living expenses, and that includes all your groceries. But when you do reach the point where you have to finance, basically, your groceries and your living expenses, then you must know that you're in a very bad space. And unfortunately, what we're also seeing is that people are pushing themselves very far in this direction before they actually ask for help.
How did this debt get incurred? What was the money spent on that led to this?
Well, look, we like I said, people were very over indebted before the lockdown even, and I think the reason for that was the lack of financial literacy. So because of the lack of financial literacy that consumers have in South Africa, they sometimes buy things that they cannot really afford. In the form of vehicles and houses and luxury goods that they finance. And that's the problem. People look at their payslip and try and judge on, you know, what they can buy. And they go to the banks and the credit providers and try and max out their credit and see what's the best car that they can get, or the best this or the best that. And that's unfortunately where everything starts and the difficult times actually originate from, because now you're on the edge and you're just making your payment on a monthly basis, and then life happens, like with this pandemic, and you get a slight salary cut. Now all of a sudden you're not able to afford to pay back your car and your house and your water and electricity and everything else. So then people start defaulting. So it starts with those luxury goods that people are financing, or even just using credit cards to finance even holidays. But now, in difficult times, that comes back to haunt you. And then that becomes difficult. And then you can find yourself in a situation where you're actually financing food.
So this is also about spending money sometimes on things we don't actually need.
Yes, definitely. That that also slots into the lack of financial literacy that I mentioned earlier on. It's very unfortunate that we don't have any formal financial literacy on school level, even on tertiary level. So what that means is that people start working, they start earning an income, and all of a sudden, they're approached by credit providers from all over offering them credit, and they're basically starting their career life on the back foot, where they should have known, if they had the financial education and literacy, they should have known that they should not buy things that they do not need, and first look at their own financials before, and finances before they make decisions like that and taking on credit. Because what we also see is that a lot of times people are under the impression that if a bank or any credit provider for that matter grants you credit, then surely you must be able to afford it because they've done their homework. But the reality is you have to do your own homework and look at your own health, financial health, and determine whether you will be able to afford to pay that back and still have a financially good life.
Neil Ritz, thanks very much indeed. CEO of Debt Rescue. Your mediated conversation continues. It's 18 minutes now to 9 o'clock. Personal finances after COVID-19. Let's speak now to Mavis Eureka. She's a human behavior specialist, particularly looking at financial decisions. Mavis, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm Thanks well. For having me. Is spending money a habit? Do we get used to spending money, and do we get used to getting into debt?
So human beings operate through habits. So everything we do, when you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth. So we literally create habits for survival so that our lives are predictable. So what also happens with then getting into debt, it can actually become a habit. So you organize your life in a way that, you know, when you get paid, you're simply servicing debt. And it becomes so comfortable that you think, I can afford to repay that debt. I can afford to repay that debt. And it becomes almost like a lifestyle of some sort without you. So it's something that you might not actually reflect on it and say, what am I actually doing in terms of my finances? Am I just leaving, earning to service debt? Because it becomes very comfortable because you can afford the debt. It doesn't almost give you an indication of what you are doing or what you're building in terms of your own finances.
When we get into debt, the rational thing to do, so looking at it as an outsider, if we get into debt, the rational thing to do is to try and get out of debt.
That's it.
But are we rational when we realize we're in a little bit of debt? Or do we sometimes get into more debt? And to use that word again, do we rationalize spending money on that thing that maybe we don't need?
I always say people get into emotional debt before they can get into financial debt. And we try to use financial debt to pay off an emotional debt. And I always say, welcome to hell. Because no amount of money can pay off emotional debt. So you keep on digging a hole, right? So when people get into financial debt because of the feelings they have, either regret or shame of the past, based on how their upbringing and the anxiety of their past, relationship with money as they were, during their upbringing, what it then does is lead someone to try and say, I'm going to try and act like I'm better than my past life, so that I can get rid of the anxiety that I have. Unfortunately, getting yourself into a vicious cycle again of anxiety, because now you are having to service debt or you realize that you don't have enough income. So you get into what is called buyer's remorse, right? You are anxious, you don't have money. But when you get it because of the anxiety, you want to get rid of the anxiety. And when you try to get rid of the anxiety, you actually create more financial damage.
So it's about it's about spending money to make ourselves feel better when actually spending our money isn't going to make ourselves feel better. We think it will, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. In most cases, it actually doesn't. So when people save, they almost feel like they're being deprived. So we need to change our mindset and our thinking around money. And that's something that's done consciously and deliberately. Because if you don't actually sit back and say, hey, wait, what is the nature or the relationship I have with money? What is my thinking around money? Do I think that when I buy, I feel better? Because emotions are from within us. It doesn't matter whether you buy or not. When you learn to connect with yourself, money becomes just a useful instrument, but it doesn't become a determinant of your emotional content.
How difficult is it to wake up and try and get out of debt?
Sorry, say that again?
How difficult is it to sort of wake up and realize where we are and then try and get out of debt? We've got into a habit of spending money. How do we get out of that habit?
Yeah, so habits take habits to break them, right? And we know that habits take time to create. So habits take habits to break. So you have to create new habits and it's going to take time. What then it requires is that you have a process that works that can help you to create new habits, whether you do that through having a coach, because a lot of the times we know that people are not willing to invest in financial literacy learning, right? Most people, if I've heard that the most difficult course to sell is the financial literacy one. People are not willing to pay for those courses, and yet people actually need a lot of financial literacy. So I think getting out of debt is like saying, how easy is it to get self-aware? It depends on exposure. It depends on who is carrying you. It depends on the process that you have to create new habits that are going to get you out of debt.
There's the idea at the moment that we should be allowed to access part of our pension to pay back debt. The National Treasury is looking at this. For many people, I think this would be a huge lifesaver at the moment. But is it a good idea?
So I'll say yes and no. Why do I say yes and no? If you are financially literate and you get that pension, access to the pension, and you are able to service or pay off your high interest debt, you are cutting on the interest, but you still need to think that you are going to retire, you're going to need money for the future. So if you do service the debt that is almost like an asset, like your house, rather than consumer debt, or maybe if you do even pay off your high interest and credit debt, that is hoping that you've made the realization that you need to come out of debt and start building for the future. So if you are able to service the debt and are able to cut on the interest, but take advantage of that to start saving for the future, you are in good shape. But however, because of where we are, and we know the behaviors already, and the low financial literacy, people are going to get excited when they get money. You know, you get access to money, you pay off, you start buying stuff. We know what people do when they have money. I always say, you know, there's something about money that when you get it, if you don't know who you really are, you start getting so overexcited, you know, that you don't feel stable and comfortable until you've spent that money and it's finished. Only then do you kind of get some level of relief. So I think for me, before people can access the money, make sure that you've developed yourself. Make sure that you've got self-determination around money. What is the future going to look like? How do I create that kind of future, right? Because if you don't, you get it and you spend it, and then you actually find yourself in the vicious cycle. You start creating the debt again, and you now no longer have money for the future. Who is going to be paying, or who's going to be, you know, funding you when you're retired? So we need to think about that. And now that knowing that we live longer than before, we know that a lot of, if I can speak to black folks, I know that a lot of black folks right now, people will use this language to say, you know, black tax, because a lot of the black folks right now are sending money home to their parents that worked, that do not have, you know, retirement funds, or they have insufficient retirement funds. But I don't know if for the future, the children that we are raising will be able to send money to us. I think the economy is changing and the dynamics are really changing, but also coupled with the fact that there's high unemployment, there's all these other dynamics that we need to think about, that even if our children might not be able to do what we are doing to send money to our parents.
Should we be so if, for example, if they decide to go ahead and allow us to access our pensions, should we be allowed to decide for ourselves whether we should access the money, or should there be some process where someone else decides if we would sort of access our own money and use it wisely? And that, I think I could see reasons why that would be a bad idea, but someone might suggest it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's almost like, you know, it goes back to the human rights issues that, you know, deciding for someone, I don't know if that might be something that's feasible. However, those that are releasing the finances, what they can actually do is that they make sure that people are receiving financial coaching before they access the money. Someone needs to see financial planners. You need to sit with financial planners and say, oh, here's where I am. Here's the debt that I have. You know, if I get this money, this is what I'm planning to do. And if the person really wants the help, they then it's up to them to be held accountable for what they say they'll be doing with the money. You know, if you've got the coach, they hold you accountable, right? So they need to be willing. I think so. In terms of someone deciding, it becomes tricky when it comes to human rights issues. It's their money. You know, that's why people continually get into debt. You can't tell people not to get into debt if they can have access to debt, and also because we're dealing with human rights issues here. Although some people don't actually know what they're doing.
Well, thanks very much indeed, Mavis Eureka. I do appreciate it. A specialist in human behavior, looking at financial issues and looking at financial decisions that we make. In a moment, the expert, Gerald Mwandiambira, around your personal finances. 8:08.
Mediated conversation on SAFM.
Continue your mediated conversation this morning around personal finance after COVID-19. Gerald Mwandiambira is a financial expert. Gerald, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, and good morning to all your listeners.
So once we're into this debt, how difficult is it to get out? And I mean, particularly when you're suddenly now probably on a reduced income.
Well, it's almost impossible. I think it's a real mess. We have a number of psychosocial issues which are affecting people. People don't have money. They want to survive. So there are people who are really in need. And then also we have the mental issues, which Mavis was talking about, that, you know, people just simply can't get their heads around why they do what they do with their money. And that is perhaps the biggest challenge. And to compound matters worse, we live in a country which is the most forgiving country in the world. We forgave apartheid. What more? What else can't we forgive? And unfortunately, with the number of amnesties and all sorts of things we keep doing, we don't only have a problem of financial literacy, we have a problem of a financial accountability as well. Because people simply don't accept responsibility for the decisions they make. I watch clients sign financial contracts without reading. And then I have to say, no. Let's read line by line. It doesn't make me popular, but people simply don't care. They sign their lives away, initial here. And then when the debt collectors come, they profess ignorance. And then they expect someone to forgive them, as Neil was talking about earlier, that, you know, all debts must be forgiven because we are a country where we actually have an accountability crisis in this country. No one is found responsible for anything. Therefore, why are you going to get me for my debt if someone who's walking around with stolen millions is free?
We've seen a tightening around credit over the last few years. There was National Credit Act, I suppose, a long time ago now. But I do wonder if sometimes banks, and particularly stores, should be made a lot harder to give us more debt. There should be really tight controls. I mean, I remember going to an ATM to draw money and the ATM offering to lend me money. I mean, I don't know if they still do that. You go to stores and people say, oh, do you want to put that on, you know, this or that? Do you want to take 2 years to pay for something that costs $100? I mean, you end up paying so much interest on that.
Well, look, Stephen, it's about accountability. The responsibility is not the banks or the stores. It is you who is taking the money. So what you are doing is you're compounding the issue by perpetuating the idea that's out there that it's the bank's fault that I went into debt. No, it is your fault that you're in debt. It is your fault that you didn't know what you were doing. By taking $100,000 now, for example, in a pension advance, you're robbing yourself of $983,000 in 25 years. You should know that. But if you don't care, it doesn't matter. So the issue right now is what Maisie was talking, that we need to claim back accountability and responsibility for the decisions we make. Financial institutions are running businesses, and they do their due diligence. But even if they made it compulsory for you to write a test before you got a loan, people will write that test, they will pass that test, and when it's time to collect their debt, they will profess ignorance. So it's an issue which we have to solve at societal level. We have to go into that financial education at a much earlier age, and we need to really allow adults to be adults. I think what happens right now when it comes to money, we always want to blame someone else for our money decisions. It doesn't work like that. The funny thing is, it happens even with our weight. So you were saying, how easy is it to get out of debt? Well, talk to someone who's overweight and tell them how easy is it to lose the weight. It's the same kind of behavioral change, behavioral shift, the habit change, which is required in the long run.
I suppose one way to do it would be to cut off further instances of debt. So if someone's, I mean, you know, in a perfect world with a perfect computer database, someone could get into debt with X amount. The moment they miss one payment, they're not allowed to get any more debt. I can't really see it working, though.
It won't work because there's businesses out there which make money from this debt. Bottom line is, if debt was not profitable, the businesses would not be extending it. So unfortunately, if you look at any bank, their most profitable line is lending. So they're not going to take themselves out of business anytime soon.
Gerald, is this just going to get worse?
I think it could get worse, but there are interventions we can take. I think, as Mavis said, if people are allowed to go through a system of checks and balances before they get credit, they will start to make better decisions. But will it happen overnight? I don't think so. I think we still have that culture which is now being made worse, in that the youngest generation, the millennials, our social media generation, where they believe every picture they see, it's true. And unfortunately, we have a competitive youth market which wants to look good, better than someone else, and it's actually making things worse because the youth of today will practically do anything for money.
Gerald Mwandi Ambire, thank you very much indeed, personal finance expert. Do appreciate the time. My thanks also to Mavis Eureka, the human behavior specialist focusing in financial issues, and Neil Rutz from Debt Rescue. All right, well, we'll be back tomorrow from look after yourself, stay safe. I sometimes say get vaccinated. I'm going to say don't get into debt today. From Zelma, Stanza, Joey, and myself, we'll see you tomorrow. You're with SAFM leading the conversation, 9 o'clock.